Broadcasting from the David Price IMAX Center Studios.
One-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Live from Bongo Java at Omni Nashville. For the next hour, one-on-one with Greg Pogue gets up close and personal with those making the news and those reporting it. Also brought to you by the Southern Steak and Oyster, Gary Force Acura, the Nashville Predators, Toots Restaurants, and Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and more. Now, Greg Pogue.
Good Saturday morning. How are you doing? Welcome in. What a One with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. We do it every Saturday morning right here on, we are outside the veranda here this morning. And so if you hear the city bustling about us, it's because it is. Crazy Charlie right here. Ty Richardson, he is back in the David Price IMAX Center Studios. And our guest this morning, Larry Schmitto, really needs no introduction in this city. The legendary Larry Schmitto, former Nashville Sounds owner, Texas Rangers, Vanderbilt baseball coach, Bailey Junior High coaching whiz. Going to talk about a lot of different things. Larry, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming.
It's my pleasure to be here. My age is... pleasure to be anywhere.
Well, and I see your honorary son Mike has accompanied you. Is that part of the deal?
Yeah.
I didn't realize this.
Yeah.
Of course, he calls the show Smitty.
Yeah.
In Franklin.
Yeah.
And hey, want to thank you. Let's just start right with what you're doing. President and owner of SNS Family Entertainment and SNS Sports. You've got how many, and also thank you for advertising on our radio station, too.
Well, actually, we're not S&S anymore.
Okay.
We're now L&S. My partner was Rick Scott, governor of Florida. And when he decided to run for senator, he put everything to blind trust, so I bought him out. So the L is for Larry, and the S is for my wife, Shirley. So
okay.
It's now same thing. It's all still called Strike and Spare. We got 14 of them in four different states.
And it's more than just a bowling alley, right? I mean, that's the easy thing to say.
Well, we have two family entertainment centers that has a whole lot of different things.
Yeah.
But most of them are traditional bowling centers. We got a little bit of everything.
Why that? When you sold the Sounds, why head that direction?
Well, I got bored. I was doing some schedules for some minor leagues, and I was a backup schedule maker for the major leagues, and that didn't take much time, and I wanted to do something. And actually, Melrose, I knew the owner there, and he had died, and I tried to buy it, and they decided not to sell. And Rick Scott and I had been involved in trying to, you know, seeing if he was interested in buying the Kansas City Royals, and he decided not to do it at that time because of publicity. He originally was from Kansas City, and he just wanted to do something together. So I studied a bowling company called Bowl America, who had centers in Baltimore and all, and been in business for a long time, been very successful. And we bought Murfreesboro, and things went from there.
How many do you have around here, right around Nashville?
Five.
Five.
Our office is in Hendersonville, where we have a circus world kind of activity, five different laser tag, roller skate, bungee jumping, bumper cars, 44 lanes of bowling, and a real nice restaurant. And then we have Hermitage and Donaldson Plaza. We have Tusculum, and we still have Murfreesboro.
Tusculum, that's your traditional type bowling alley, isn't it? That thing's been there forever, right?
It has been. It's got good food service, but it's only got 24 lanes. And Dr. Pope did that a long time ago just for the neighborhood. And bowling's a very well-kept secret. It's millions and millions. According to all the national things, it's the second most active behind jogging of any activity in America.
Wow. Jogging. Well, I don't bowl or jog, Larry. I'm saying, I guess
well,
that's
it
a
looks
pretty.
Like you least, should.
I know. Thank you. I set you up for that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually lost a little bit. It's sort of like a deck chair off the Titanic.
Okay.
So just let you know. Larry Schmitto, there's so many. I was thinking about this, you know, last night, thinking about having you on, and I've known you, and you were so good to me. When I was writing for the Nashville Banner, of course, a lot of things have happened over the years, and we didn't always agree on things, and that's fine, and I probably won't this morning either.
Yeah.
And that's fine, too, but I respect you so much. And I'm thinking, where do I start with you? Because it could be the sounds, and then where do we go with that? It could be Vanderbilt, baseball, and you winning, you know, the championship, or you coaching football while doing and how that got started, or your early days teaching in Goodlettsville High School and all the how many people you impacted there, or what you're doing today. So you write the lead. Where should I start?
Well, I can only say where I started.
Yeah.
I grew up in West Nashville. Loved playing baseball. Wasn't real good at it. But when I was a junior in high school, in my junior year, my coach, Eddie Allaman, told Bobby Roberts, one of my best friends, "Won't you guys go over? They've started this program called Knothole Baseball. Won't you go over to Cockrell Elementary School and y'all coach a team?" So we did. There's about 50 little kids there. We did it the old-timey way with a baseball bat going up. Who got the knob got first choice. Bobby got first choice, and he picked the biggest guy in the class who wasn't a very good athlete. This little kid named Charlie Mosley came up and tugged my leg and said, "Pick Deardorff. He's the best player." I said, "Deardorff." So we got all the best players. We won the league, and I fell in love with coaching. I had never thought about going to college, but I knew if I was going to coach, I had to go to college. So it all started there with Cockrell Elementary. And on that team, there was a guy named Stanley Garland who had a little brother named Wayne Garland. And Wayne was our bat boy at first. And then we had little league games. And when he was 8 years old, he could get on the team, 8 through 12. The first game I put him in to pitch in a 10-year-old game, he cried, wouldn't pitch. But second game, he got in, and the rest is history. He was better than anybody around at that age. And then I moved on up the ladder to Babe Ruth baseball, moved right with him. Chuck Boyette, who caught for me at Vanderbilt, actually played for me from the times he was 8 years old till he graduated from college.
Really? Well, it's
so those guys are just special to me.
You mentioned Wayne Garland. I do believe, was he the first million-dollar pitcher?
He signed a 10-year contract after he won 20 games with Baltimore to go to Cleveland. And then that you hurt his arm.
Yeah, but he was the first million-dollar pitcher.
I think so.
Yeah. 500 games as a Sandlot baseball coach, 20 city championships, 8 state championships, 6 teams, national finals in their age group. So you were fully invested with that.
Yeah, and that little really led to everything else. Agent Jones was one of my pitchers. His daddy was on the athletic department at Vanderbilt. He was a professor of physics, and he recommended Jess Neely to hire me.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Neely came out to Vanderbilt. I didn't know anything about Vanderbilt. I used to go over and throw batting practice for George Archie, Harley Boss. And Mr. Neely walked in, and he said, "We want you to be our head baseball coach at Vanderbilt." And this probably was kind of disrespectful, but I said, "Why would I want to do that? Y'all are awful."
You were right.
And he said, "You're right, but I'm going to help you."
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have any scholarships at all. But it was something about that man, Mr. Neely, his eyes, his reputation. I just believed in him that, yeah, he would help me as a person and as a coach. And you know, we got Mike Willis, who wound up in the big leagues. He got me a half scholarship for him. And then a year later, he got me some kind of scholarship to get John McClain. And I always remember Coach Corby, when he first came to Vanderbilt, he and Charlie Hawkins and I had lunch. And He said, you know, we only have Ledman two-thirds scholarships now. I was wondering how you won them four championships back there in that role. I said, Coach, you're asking the wrong guy. The most I ever had was three. I don't know what I would have done with 11 and two-thirds. But I recruited all them local kids, yeah. And that we still bond together. We've lost a couple of them, Jeff Peebles, Jerry Reasonover, Bill Harden. But they were special.
Larry Schmidto is our guest, 101 with Greg Pogue here, Bongo Java, Omni Nashville Hotel. Before Vanderbilt, though, Bailey Junior High School, you were the football and basketball coach there. Goodlettsville High School, the head basketball coach. But then 65 to 68, was this just a summer gig or whatever? But you were territorial scout for the Cleveland Indians.
I was. As a second mistake I made with Mr. Neely when he said in 1968, how much are you making at Goodlettsville? At that time, coach, you coach or something, and all, I was making $7,000. But what I didn't tell him, that I worked at Ford in the summer, mm-hmm. and made another $6,000 or $7,000. I was getting $2,000 or $3,000 from Cleveland. On Saturdays, I was unloading trucks over at Kroger. So I went from making about $18,000 or $19,000 down to $7,000 because that's what he offered me. But, I enjoyed coaching in high school. I never really thought about, you know, what lied ahead. But one thing kind of led to another. It was networking, I guess. You didn't call it back then. But you knew somebody. They had faith in you. Mr. Waters was assistant superintendent in Metro. And his son played for him in the summer. I'm sure he had a hand in maybe picking me over more qualified candidates.
Vanderbilt baseball in 68, you won over 300 games, four division titles, two back-to-back, the 73-74 SEC championships, and you by then, quite frankly, but you were still doing a lot of football stuff for the Commodores, and was it more, I'm the football coach who happens to be coaching baseball, was it more that way?
I was a head football recruiter,
yeah,
and until they did away with that at the end of 75, and that was a miserable job. I mean, you're away from your family, but I learned how to sell. That taught me how to sell. Now, I'm trying to sell. When I first went there, I think the year before, we'd won 1-10. In baseball, they were 1-27. So there's no way I could screw that up. So I went out to sell Vanderbilt football and learned real quick, don't try to start selling something you don't have. You know, we had the great education. We played in a great conference. And you had the opportunity to play in a hurry, and you formed personal relationships. And I recruited the parents as much as I recruited the kid. And within a couple of years, we were in those top 20 football rankings. And those teams is one that led us to the Peach Bowl. And actually, the best team we had was the first year Coach Pankos was there when all them guys. But we lost early and didn't get, you know, wasn't many bowls back then. And so we had those three straight years of football that I think we won 7 in a row and tied one with, you know, the punt, Barry punt, mm-hmm. Area, and we had some great players. If Watson Brown hadn't got hurt, number one, his best sport was baseball, and he'll tell you today it was. And best prospect I ever saw in the state of Tennessee in baseball.
Really, Watson?
Watson Brown.
Wow.
No
as
doubt.
As a pitcher or?
Shortstop.
Shortstop.
Great hitter, great speed, great arm. And then he, in that Chattanooga game, he slipped on that concrete, was on them crutches too long, and he lost use of his, I believe it was his left arm. He couldn't run anymore. And, I mean, football, baseball, if he hadn't got hurt, we might have competed for the SEC championship in football and baseball. Actually, I want to correct you on one thing.
What did I do?
We tell everybody, I tell my guys, we actually won three SEC championships in a row. 1972, the first year we went, we got beat by Ole Miss by one run. And they went on to the College World Series. I had three scholarships. They had 19 baseball scholarships, and it was all over. They also found that they had eight guys playing on swimming scholarships, but they didn't have a swimming pool. And the pitcher that beat us was on a swimming scholarship. So
they
I
got
said,
a river down there somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't
they? That's true. So I pulled against Ole Miss ever since then.
And you know the thing, you win those championships, baseball and SEC, and Roy Mubern over the years, I would always say he went to fight a bear with a switch.
Right.
And you had obviously Mr. Hawkins. Hawkins Field. It's really too bad that Vanderbilt baseball really just doesn't have much going on. If they had somebody over there knew what they were doing, it would be.
Yeah, well, I think Corbin's learning.
He'll get there, right? Has it been amazing to see what he's done with that program?
It absolutely has. Now, he has a lot of scholarships, right. And he uses them wisely. You know, he always building around great pitching. You got to have it to win. He's so good at being a father image, I would like to say, to those kids. He's done some things for some kids that straighten their life out that will probably never be told. But he's done a great job. I tell everybody he's the best baseball coach in America.
Larry Schmitto, he is our guest, 101 with Greg Pogue. We are out on the patio, the veranda here at Bongo Java at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Crazy Charlie producing on site back at the David Price IMAX Center Studios. Ty Richardson, always tell you about Toots, good food and fun. You can't go to Rutherford County, Larry. There's a law. You can't exit. You can't get like an exit visa if you go to Rutherford County if you don't have a Toots receipt. They detain you at the border. Their wings are amazing. You're in the food business, and it's not easy. And they've done a great job. 30 plus years at the iconic location, Northwest Broad Street, South Church Street, up in my neck of the woods, Smyrna. They got a new one coming on in the Blackman area. That whole just like everything around Middle Tennessee just growing so bad. Their sauces. Honey barbecue, mild garlic, Cajun dry rub, medium hot barbecue, hot garlic, Nashville hot, and napalm. Your favorite's napalm, right?
That's right.
Napalm, right. But Toots, good food and fun. But as a guest here today, we don't give out Rolex watches, but there's a bottle of Toots sauce. And Mike, I knew you were coming as well, so I brought you some Toots wing sauce as well. Nashville Sounds is where we're headed. The guy who brought minor league baseball to this city, Larry Schmitto, is our guest on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Dan Piotrowski, general manager of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlets to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokaro Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the biscuit bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant, or our upscale honky-tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner with that someone special, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
The Acura TLX comes standard with four distinct drive modes. An integrated dynamic system lets you switch between Econ, Normal, Sport, and Sport Plus settings for adaptive control, making each drive as dynamic as you choose. Hurry in and test drive the TLX today. Acura, precision crafted performance.
Test drive one today at Gary Force Acura, located at 1634 Westgate Circle in Brentwood, and visit them online at GaryForceAcura.com.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome for meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
It's a Bill King Show.
How is it that being given a couple of $100,000 worth of stuff to play football at a school is not getting anything? Where in the mother bleeping hell did that come from? It is a ridiculous line of thinking. And I can tell you right now, I sure as heck don't want to see that happen.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
One-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Bongo Java. Our guest this morning is Larry Schmido. And in 1978, you had been the baseball coach at Vanderbilt. What got into your mind that you wanted to put together a group of investors, professional baseball, back to Nashville? I said the minor leagues, professional baseball. Yeah. And it had been here at Sulphur Dell, and I'm sure you've been to many games at Sulphur Dell, one of the great, you know, parks of all time, really, and the old Nashville Vols.
Well, Chattanooga had brought baseball back to Chattanooga and had drawn pretty well. And different people had always kind of suggested about this and that. And I just had a belief that if we had a team that the people would come out. Unfortunately, we didn't have a park, and that became the biggest obstacle. So I already had assurances from different people that if we put a park together that we could get a team. So I just wasn't making much money at Vanderbilt. Had lost a little of my gusto at Vanderbilt. Decided I need to do something else for my family, and came out with that plan. And most of the people said I was crazy, but people like, I remember John Bibb, lifelong friend, called me up. Let's go to lunch. And when I really hadn't announced anything other officially of how I was going to do it, and he said, Schmido, you're crazy, but what can I do to help?
Of course, the longtime Tennessean sports writer, right?
And many people did that. You know, I don't think this will work, but, you know, what can I do to help you out?
Yeah.
And a lot of my Vanderbilt connections came in to help me. And then we drew a little thing up. It came out, and I don't know if it was a banner in Tennessean, a little drawing. I went to the park board. I didn't want to go where I went. I was hoping Centennial or Shelby would be the place. They said, no, but we got four softball fields we're fixing to dislocate. We'll lease it to you, but, and then we went to the city, and they said there's no money, but we'll consider a lease. So that little drawing came out, and Snuffy Miller, who had been a Vanderbilt fan, drove buses for Vanderbilt, he knew Conway Twitty, and he told me, Conway won't see you. I went out to see him, and told him what I was going to do. I was going to try to raise $300,000. I'd put in 10%. I'd had to borrow it. And he said, let's go. I'll do it all. Well, I'd already had gone to three or four very prominent Nashvillians that knew sports. And when they found out you had to find jointly and severally, they said we couldn't do it. So that was just out of blue. Here comes my angel. Yeah. And his advisor told him, you know, don't do all of it. But so Conway wound up doing 20%, but then he got Cal Smith. You buy 10%, Cal didn't even know what he's buying. Ellie White, songwriter.
All right, 5%. Cal Smith, is that the...
Hello, Country Bumpkin.
Yeah.
And Ellie wrote a lot of famous songs. And then that's Jerry Reed, had been a friend of mine forever. And he got on board. And then some of the ones who had originally said no, they got back involved. And then Farrell Owens was a big help. He had some people that was baseball people that rounded up a couple investors. And that's how we came up with $300,000, which wasn't near enough to get it done. We pledged all of our season ticket advance to the park, and then I still ran short, so I mortgaged my house, come up to where we could just get open. And, boy, did the people come.
Yeah. When you have the star power, though, of a Conway Twitty, a Jerry Reed, that had to help. I mean, And then later on, I guess Richard Sturban was involved, of the Oak Ridge Boys, and everybody. And so them lending their star appeal helped. But you said today, getting the stadium, Greer Stadium, right? When was it first named Greer Stadium?
Well, another famous person out of the past, Herschel Greer, had been the president of the old Nashville Vols when they were raising money to keep them another year. And a Ralph Brown, former coach at BGA, good friend, he worked for them, and Ralph called me and said, we'd like to make a donation if you would name this stadium Greer Stadium. So I think it was $50,000 or $75,000, which again went towards the construction of the stadium. And we gave them season tickets for 37 years, I guess. And but they were big supporters, and you know, just prominent people know other prominent people, and a lot of people bought season tickets that really didn't think was going to succeed, but they did. They bought them, and if it hadn't been for that, we couldn't have built Greer Stadium with our own money. The city, I own Greer, Nashville Sounds as general partner for 19 years, and I can tell everybody, the city of Nashville didn't have one penny in that stadium. We paid property taxes on it as if we owned it. And everything, all the improvements was done with investor money.
And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Was there a moment, Larry Schmidto is our guest this morning, 101 with Greg Pogue here at Bongo Java Omni Nashville Hotel. Was there a moment that you said they came in the 80s? It was just crazy. And of course, by all the great names that came through there with your relationship with the Yankees and then the Reds, but bye-bye Balboni and all of that. Was there a moment that sticks out in your mind that you say, hey, this thing's working?
Well, there was a bunch of moments before we opened it. I said, it's not working. How did I get into this? But I was in so deep.
Yeah.
It was only way out was to finish it. No, actually, it ended the very first homestand. We had to change our homestand. Had to swap and pay Chattanooga some because we couldn't get open on time. And but that first weekend, when more people showed up than we had seats for, I said, no, this. I underestimated what Nashville would do.
Yeah.
And because that very first weekend showed me, if you give people a good time, they're going to come out.
Well, I remember, Bowling Green. Okay, I grew up in Bowling Green, being 1980, 23 years, driving down, and because there was nothing. You really drew from the entire region, because unless you would go to Cincinnati or St. Louis or pitiful Atlanta, that was it. And your marketing, though, and I got a question, though. How many, was it the seventh? I don't know if it's the seventh inning, eighth inning. I remember in my mind seeing you walk around and you were always out talking to everybody. That's and greeting everybody, just being a part of it. And how many cups of the Little Helmet ice cream did you think you ate over the years?
That I
ate? Yeah, that you ate. Because I remember if it was the seventh inning stretch or eighth inning, I'd always see you walking around. You'd have the little helmet with the ice cream in it.
Well, usually I knew when about the fifth inning was over, the main part of eating hot dogs and all was over and things were going to shift to ice cream.
Yeah.
So I'd usually go up if we were slammed and work in the ice cream thing for maybe an inning or so. And that was my pay. So I got at least one cup.
Yeah.
And that was my pay. But, some nights we sold about 1,800 of them little ice cream helmets. And I remember when I went to the first baseball convention, and them helmets was out there, and they had jelly beans in it. And when I told that guy, I said, I'd like to order maybe 1,000 of those, he looked at me like, are you crazy, man? And we just run out, and them little standings boards, you get all the helmets, you get the standings board. And that was one of our better ideas.
Oh, yeah.
We had some bad ones, too, but that was one of our better ideas.
Well, I remember I had every one of them. I collected them.
Yeah.
I mean, they were – those things went home. You didn't find many in the garbage. Larry Schmitto is with us. We will head to the 90s. With this, I don't know if it's genius or craziness, but two minor league teams in one city – for 2 years in a row at one stadium. We'll talk about that, 93-94, how crazy that year was. We'll take a break. I got to tell you about Toots one more time. Toots, good for it and fun. They're always great. And, you know, sometimes you just got to have a burger. I'm telling you, their burgers are just great. Here's why. They're never frozen. They're hand-patted daily, cooked to order. However you want them, they got the Toots burger, the topped one, bacon, cheese, barbecue sauce, the avocado Southwest burger, the new one, black and blue burger. Everybody's putting avocado on something these days. Mexican sombrero burger, classic half-pound burger. They also got the platters, chicken finger, catfish, fried oysters, shrimp, clams, frog legs. You ever had frog legs? Once or twice, yeah. And I'm not even going to do the joke with you. Mike, you know, Smitty knows the joke, your son. I always ask, what do they taste like? You know, they taste like frog legs, right? I mean, that's what they are. Anyway, that's enough of that. Toots.com, good food and fun. Larry Schmitto is our guest. More with him right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Discover a new level of relaxation at Mokara. It's your chance to revive, rejuvenate, and restore amidst the welcoming tranquility of our award-winning destination spa. We invite you to sample our extensive spa offerings, including massage therapy, facials, body treatments, salon services, and so much more. Experience refined relaxation at Mokara Spa, located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. For an appointment, simply call 615-761-3600.
What the Acura TLX calls standard, others can't. An instinctive precision all-wheel steer system, four dynamic drive modes, and powerful Juuleye LED headlights. All standard. Hurry in and test drive the TLX today. Acura, precision crafted performance.
Test drive one today at Gary Force Acura, located at 1634 Westgate Circle in Brentwood, and visit them online at GaryForceAcura.com.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, or weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit TheSouthernNashville.com.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome for meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
The Bill King Show.
A man whom the President of the United States once called God's own quarterback.
Alabama back on top of the college football world.
He seems like a nice guy.
Weekday mornings at 6.
Take a shot to the end zone. Touchdown.
You're a brilliant mind, tremendous experience. You're great for the community.
The Bill King Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Twin-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Bongo Java. We're out on the veranda today. Beautiful, beautiful morning. Crazy Charlie running things here. Ty Richardson back in the David Price IMAX Center Studios. As a matter of fact, this is Ty's last Saturday morning with us. He's going to be doing the remote Monday out at the OVC Football Media Day at the Embassy Suites at the airport. So I want to thank Ty for all of his good work, heading back home for a job over in his home state of Arkansas, Fort Smith, to be exact. So good job, Ty, and good luck to you, my man. Larry Schmitto is our guest, the general managing partner of the Nashville Sounds. 1993 and 94, the Sounds and the Nashville Express. And I was working the Nashville Banner at the time, so I got sent out to cover a few of those games as well. What in the world were you thinking, first off, having a baseball game there just about every day, right, for about 140 days?
Well, you know, we also owned a Huntsville team. It was in the Southern League, and so Charlotte had gotten the AAA franchise, and the guy that bought the AA franchise from him had no place to play. So it really was a no-brainer. If Huntsville, he's either going to have lose 18 home dates because seven teams instead of eight. So I asked my groundskeeper and Farrell and Jim Baldwick, and they said, "Look, that sounds great." So, actually, it was easy as 2 years.
Really?
We could schedule people on a regular basis, because used to it'd be, okay, we're home for 10 days, and people are there from 7 in the morning to midnight, and then you're gone for 7 or 8 days, but you're still working during those days. So, I think myself, and I don't know whether Mike was there every day or not, and maybe Jim Baldwin and Chuck Ross is the only one
Chuck
was there every day. And, you know, the teams never saw each other. The only time they ever saw each other was when they ended the year. Phil Roof and our Sounds manager, Rennick, the first time they saw each other was the day that they were packing up to go home. So it really, really, other than one of your associates at the Nashville Banner that thought it was a bad idea and wrote about it all the time, but I didn't.
We could call names. Here.
I didn't.
I know who it is.
I didn't pay any attention to Mr. Biddle.
Out to Joe.
And then we got Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
For 18 days, and you know it turned out to be a financial bonanza, which we didn't think about at that time, but we loved it.
Yeah. Now, the Express, were that the Twins?
Yep.
And the Sounds at the time were
the
White Sox, right, with Rennick and everything with that. During that time, you explored getting Major League Baseball to Nashville.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, they were going to expand by two teams, it was pretty well known that Denver and everybody thought St. Pete would be the front runners and get it. So I talked to Bill White, president of the American League at that time, and some other people that own, and especially George Steinbrenner, and said, I'd like to be considered. Be an underdog first go around, but you're going to expand again. And George, we went up and met with all the different owners. Bonner was a mayor then. He went with us and made a pitch to be considered, of which we were. And we were sent all the applications, and that's what we knew. We didn't have a park. But we had to prove it. We had to support. And so we started a drive of $100 down payment on a ticket. We sold, I don't know, 6,000, 7,000, or 8,000 of those. And we didn't make the final cut. We spent about $250,000 trying to get that going. Had a lot of support for it. As soon as that was over, I knew before anyone that the Titans was coming to Nashville. I had worked with the Rangers at the same time. McClure was a marketing guy
Mike
for the
McClure,
White Sox.
Obviously, yeah.
And so he called me, tell me about it. You know, tell me about Nashville. I said, you're looking for a new home, huh? Yeah. And so probably maybe 2 months later, they came calling. And so I always believe that Nashville, whichever one got here first, I never considered the NFL, but would be ultra successful. And even during that push, actually Mayor Bredesen had become mayor. He did everything he ever said he was going to do for me. He wanted to get a baseball park. He called me down and said, I want to get the library and an arena going first. You know, having had a basketball team, had a game rained out in Municipal Auditorium, I knew we needed an arena. But as we moved forward, he and Governor McWhorter were very helpful. And I think we could have gotten the third and the fourth one. We went to Phoenix and to St. Pete at that time because they awarded the first go-around to Denver and Miami. But by that time, I had the primary owner lined up, and it was Bronson Ingram. And he got involved, and so we needed a heavyweight, and Bronson was, you know, very sold on the idea. And then that he passed away, and that's John, his son, is behind the soccer
right.
movement and a big supporter of Vanderbilt. But I still think baseball is the best economic driver that any city could have.
Why?
Well, number one, they're going to draw more people than the Titans and the Predators added together, which is about 1.2 million. If they sold out, say Titans sold out 10 games, including those preseason, that's 600,000. Now the Predators got 41 games. Say they sold out at 17,000, that's about 1.2 million. You only got to average 16,000 people a game to have more people than that. And so you got more games, and it's during a time that tourists are here, and that's here now year-round, I guess. But it's just an economic driver that keeps on giving. You know, instead of just having a game on every other Sunday, you got a game during the week for this. And it's still the best major league sport to have to drive the economy.
We got the NFL. We got the NHL. We know that. We'll have the MLS. I know there's still steps, but it's now past the Fair Board. It's past the Sports Authority, now Metro, and then everything that comes with that. This past week of the All-Star Game, Commissioner Rob Manfred threw out Nashville as a potential with Charlotte, Portland. You got to think Vegas, Montreal, Mexico City, some other cities that were mentioned. Can Nashville do it today?
I think they could. I think they ought to do it a different way. And as I know, Mayor Briley's not a big baseball fan, but he's a good man. I know David. I would be down at the doorsteps of the Tampa Bay Rays owner every week to get him to move. He wants to move. It's in the wrong city. Tampa Bay's now saying they'll spend $900 million. I mean, St. Petersburg. But it's still in the wrong city. You know, if it's in Tampa, fine. But that's the most economical way of doing it, because the expansion fee is going to be terribly high, probably $1 billion to a city to get one of those next two. And it's coming within the next 3 or 4 years. So, yes, you know, first place they'd enlarge the Sound Stadium. I know they say it can't be done, but, you know, I worked for the Texas Rangers. That stadium that I worked in, which stood there for 20-some-odd years, was a double-A ballpark that seated 8,000 people that they turned it into seating 42,000 people. So the biggest expense is there, already spent. And if you get a current owner to move, that would be the cheapest route.
Makes sense. You mentioned something. I want to take a break, by the way, because I haven't brought it up, because the game that got rained out at Municipal Auditorium, the Music City Jammers game, I'd been sent there to cover. So I was actually there that wrote that it may have been the first rained out pro basketball game ever. So we'll take a break. Larry Schmidt is our guest. Let me tell you one more time about Toots, good food and fun. You know, it's a great place to take kids, take the grandkids, take big kid Mike down there, do what you got to do. But anyway, you know, and it's been voted every year. I'm not kidding you. Literally every year it's voted the best family restaurant in Rutherford County. The kids 12 and under get free hot dogs and coloring sheets. They got games for them to play, but if you want to act like an adult, something Mike doesn't know anything about, there's the beer, and you know that already about Mike, but anyway, I love him. Golden Bloody Marys, the champagne mimosas, all of that stuff going on, and after 8 o'clock every night, it's happy hour every night, 2-for-1 beer, wine, mixed drinks, and their tricycle sampler platter, which is gives you three different samples of three different, or you can order double up the same one of all their appetizers, only $7.50. Check out the website, my good buddy Wade Hayes, toots.com, good food and fun. We'll be back and wrap it up with Larry Schmidt in a few right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Experience the true spirit of Nashville at Bar Lines, an upscale honky-tonk, live music 7 days a week, and an award-winning menu. Conveniently located across from Bridgestone Arena and only blocks from Nissan Stadium, Bar Lines is the perfect spot for sports and live music fans alike. Featuring 22 flat-screen TVs, the best of Music City's up-and-coming talent, Bar Lines offers an unforgettable Nashville experience. Bar Lines has the best hot wings in Music City and handcrafted libations featuring the best local spirits and finest Tennessee whiskey. Come on down to Bar Lines, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome for meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit TheSouthernNashville.com.
The Acura TLX comes standard with four distinct drive modes. An integrated dynamic system lets you switch between Econ, Normal, Sport, and Sport Plus settings for adaptive control, making each drive as dynamic as you choose. Hurry in and test drive the TLX today. Acura, precision crafted performance.
Test drive one today at Gary Force Acura, located at 1634 Westgate Circle in Brentwood, and visit them online at GaryForceAcura.com.
The Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show.
Can these sick people be cured?
Yeah, you all right? I'm going to knock that chest off.
Doesn't anyone do any work around this joint anymore?
Weekday mornings at 9.
I have you guys on every morning to wake up to.
I got to tell you, nobody loves you more than I do.
You guys are way too cocky.
Makes a cutoff and running.
The Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
It's 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java is where we are this morning. Larry Smitto, our guest, of course, the Nashville Sounds, all the different former Vanderbilt baseball coach, and owner of the Music City Jammers in Municipal Auditorium, and you referenced it, and I was at the game that got rained out. I remember moving buckets around, trying to get the rain. Actually, Municipal Auditorium has really come around, and they do a nice, Bob Sconey and his staff do a good job with it, I think, right now. Yeah.
Well, Sconey was there as we owned a hockey team and when the South Stars and then Ron Bargatze got us involved in it, Jammers. And actually, Bargatze and Philip Hutch should write a book. It will become a movie about that team, like a Bad News Bears, because there's so many funny stories about people that was on that team and wound up winning the championship. But we did get rained out, you know. We tried to play and didn't have many people there anyway, and all of a sudden we saw this drip, 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 and we'd wipe it up and we'd look over and 10 foot over it'd be drip, 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 and finally one puddle became 10 puddles and people couldn't stand up. So yeah, we had to postpone a basketball game indoors.
And I was there. Yeah. It was the darn when you reflect on your career and the Sounds, does it a little bit of it the way they've sort of let Greer Stadium just go to whatever? They either do something with it or bulldoze. It's my opinion.
Well, I think I went to several of them community meetings, and you could tell they already had plans to do something. And actually, Megan Barry and them had a developer. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, you should make this an amateur, first-class amateur ballpark. When I was coaching those teams I talked about, there was more than 10 full-size diamonds that you could call the park board and reserve a field. Now there's none. There are still two, but private people are running them and charging people. So kids in the inner city have nothing to do. I did a video for Mike Organ's 60 over 60 in front of Greer Stadium.
And you and I have something in common. Right. I was one of them.
I think you lied about your age. I think you're older than
No, I'm 48. Okay. I just wanted to get included.
Well, last Thursday they said it was my birthday, but really it was the 39th anniversary of my 39th birthday.
Okay.
So anyway, I told him I didn't want to go inside. It's too sad.
Yeah.
So I wrote Mayor Briley a letter and told him, you know, I know you've put $1 million aside to demolish this place, but it's still got $400,000 worth of lights out there. It's got a great playing field with a sprinkler system. For half of that cost, they could turn that into a real good amateur field where high schools, Babe Ruth, you know, take a guy like Mookie Betts. He came from Creve Hall area. You know, I guess he had to go outside Davidson County or get on a travel team to develop his skills. And there's just no place. But they'll build 100 soccer fields, but they won't build a single full-size baseball diamond. And just use your logic. They got a lot of Little League diamonds for 9 through 12. Where are those guys going when they're 13? And the whole saying used to be, and I firmly believe it, for every baseball field built, there'll be one less jail you have to build. And why they don't do that, park board wouldn't even mow the grass. But it's still a good area if they would just use some common sense.
I just got a text from one of my buddies, Jimmy, Owens. Great show this morning, Hossfly. He calls me Hossfly. I love listening to Larry. My daughter and I would go to Greer Stadium back in the day, and I remember Larry coming around and always talking to everybody. What a treasure to the Nashville area. And he's got two little baseball emojis on there. And I echo that sentiment. Couldn't have been said better. Well, you're certainly, Larry, a Nashville treasure.
Well, I don't know about that, but I have a lot of people to thank, and I thank him for those kind words. And I still have people say that. It was my pleasure to walk around and talk. That's customer relations.
Yeah.
Try to do that bowling, too. But get a lot of good ideas from that. You know, we had a couple of promotions, Annie Lookalike contest, and they brought Real and Quillen in to do that thing from just walking around, and a guy suggested, I'll bring her in if you'll do it. So I loved it. I love the people. I had so much help. I've never had a real job. I plan on keep doing it. People say, when are you going to retire? I say, when I die. Because I'm having fun.
And tell the people everything about what you're doing now. Well, I know we started the show with it.
Well, I got 420 wonderful employees that run my 14 bowling centers. I try to go to work every day. My wife of almost 59 years now, she works a couple of days a week, and it's still a kind of a family affair to some degree, even though they all have other interests. Strike and spare bowling, that's what we are. We got a website. You know, this old man's learning about social media, and I look forward to seeing everybody.
Larry, thank you for coming. And more so, just thank you for, I know sometimes you probably want to hit me over the head too over the years, but thank you. You've always been so kind and generous to me. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you. I don't know of any disagreement we had,
except him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Charlie Saunier, right here. Ty Richardson, good luck to you in the future back in Arkansas. Hey, everybody, Braves baseball tonight and tomorrow. Be sure to catch that at the Nationals. Hey, everybody, have a great rest of your Saturday.